Hello. Hi, this is Nick Flanagan Weekly. And I'd like to start with a, I guess you'd call it a birthday present to me. My birthday is on Friday, and I very much doubt I'll be putting out another episode between now and Friday. So I will say, if you want to help me out as a birthday man, you can support the podcast, ko-fi.com/Nick Flanagan, if you wanted to throw any types of money my way. That would be a great way for me to continue doing the podcast in relative comfort. Very relative. You're also welcome to contribute to any charity of your choice, of which now is a great time to... Not any charity. There are some really bad ones out there. But, you know, you see these families are trying to escape Gaza. Support them. Maybe give them some money. You want to help some people out, do it. But also, if you want to help me out, ko-fi.com/Nick Flanagan. Okay, normally I don't start that way, but I guess I wanted to start that way this time. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks to everyone who listens. I really appreciate it. I am Nick. This is Titular, the Titular podcast that I do. And I'm chill. It's been obviously about 2 weeks since I last blessed you with news before and after seeing MOP and Kool G Rap, and that was fun. And, you know, it's been pretty fun since then, really. Pretty much. I mean, I've been in a daze, I won't lie. Which reminds me, while I'm talking, I'm going to put some of this demulsion, vitamin D, dissolvable liquid on my fingertip. And I had some, because you got to get your vitamin D, and let's face it, over here in Canada, that winter is not that sunny. Now look, it's been a chill winter. It is not chill. Like, it's been a mellow winter is what I'm saying. It has not been bad at all, and already the sun is shining, and hopefully it stays that way, but there was not a ton of sun. So you got to get that vitamin D going on, and I think it gives you giant muscles, more back strength. It gives you telepathy, free tilapia at the local fish market. If you tell them if they test you and you have enough vitamin D, they reward you by giving you fish. And if you teach someone to fish, that's one thing. But if you give them free fish, you don't need to spend that time teaching them, and you can use that time to research other things. And yeah, that's... It's been, I don't know, the weekend was nice, all right? I did comedy three times. Felt like a real back to the grind type, although I don't have another show for a week. But, yeah, it was connecting with friends. You know, that's the thing about doing comedy when you've been doing it for a while. A big part of it is when you do some shows locally, not even locally for me, because I know people in a few different cities, you run into people. I ran into Dylan Gott, who's hysterical. Look him up. He's got a podcast. He's just a really funny guy. Chris Siddiqui, great improviser and actor. My friend Tom Henry, we did a show together on Saturday. Tom is so funny. If you're in Toronto, if you're in Canada, God... People don't live in Toronto. When I make that mistake, I know how much you must hate it. I don't think Toronto is Canada. I just think I'm slightly landlocked living in Toronto. It's hard for me to get to Vancouver. It's hard for me to get to Edmonton or Calgary. It's very hard for me to get to Nunavut. But that's all Canada. Toronto is just a slice. Tiny little slice. Anyway, Tom Henry has a really wonderful comedy special on CTV and Crave, if you're in Canada. And, who else did I see? Jamal, who started doing comedy. He's been a guest on this podcast. Jamal, who is a friend and a local bar owner, is also a funny stand-up. So, and then, of course, yesterday, Sunday, I did this monthly show at 2:30 p.m. with Kurt Newman and AL Senior. Again, they've been on the podcast a bunch. And that was really wonderful. Just love it. That one's all music and then me, and it's just experimental and chill, and the Transac is a wonderful place I urge you to check out if you're in town. If you're not in town, I urge you to check it out. You can watch clips of the show on AL's YouTube, which is called Dream Weapon Films. All right, so that's a bunch of information. You like information, right? What else can I say? I mean, you know, ran into a bunch of old friends over the weekend too, because it was sunny and people like come out of the woodwork, rub their bleary eyes, and almost get run over by various cars driving badly. That's the way it works here in Toronto. But yeah, mood-wise, as always, kept on saying, I'll do the podcast. And then, you know, something came up and I'd be like, oh, I didn't do the podcast. But, you know, finally the timing is right. And here I am. I've been doing shared co-working online with my friend. And we've been just going on Zoom, telling each other what we're going to do. And then we turn our mics off, turn our cameras off, and work. So it's almost like doing it alone, except I know there's somebody on the other side of a Zoom who's also working. And honestly, it's been good. These co-working things are providing me with a bit of pressure. Just a bit of pressure. Just exactly the amount of pressure I need in order to do what I've got to do, which has been very boring stuff, like photographing items I'm trying to resell. What did I get? I got a Tom Waits album called Big Time on CD. Someone gonna buy that? I don't know. But I thought maybe they would. I got George Carlin. I got a George Carlin comedy special. And you know, I said this last podcast, a lot of my purchasing to resell is sort of not being honest with myself, that I'm basically treating it like a library that you pay for something for, except everything's way cheaper than it used to be. So $1.99 and I get a movie to watch, a VHS. In this case, the VHS I most recently watched was The Last Action Hero, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Charles Dance, a.k.a. Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones, an old, large role for him in a Hollywood movie. And remember when Last Action Hero came out? Not all of you do. But I do, because I was buying comics back then and video game magazines, and those were just replete with commercials for The Last Action Hero, which was such an odd film that it did not do as well as anyone expected. It was like not long after Terminator 2 came out, so Arnold Schwarzenegger was obviously box office gold for the most part, but then they came had this thing where he was like an actor, and then he was also a character in a fictional movie that a kid's watching. There's a special movie ticket, brings the kid into the movie world, but then they bring the... It's too confusing, is what I'm trying to say. This is way before multiverses became acceptable in visual pop culture outside of comic books. The moving picture. You know, it was not a terrible movie. It definitely had some interesting aspects, but it kind of dragged. It weirdly had short appearances from, like, box office megastars of yesteryear. Like, I don't know if Art Carney is a box office megastar, but he's very famous for playing Norton on The Honeymooners. And I tried to explain this to my girlfriend repeatedly, and she did not know what I was talking about. And look, she's not 20, okay? All right? I want to make that clear. Not one of those people right now. It's a terrible thing to say. Or ever again. Won't ever date a 20-year-old. Wow. Saying it out loud really hits. It's hard. No, it actually feels great. When I was 20 dating other 20-year-olds, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. We thought we were happy just going to the coffee shop and talking for about 5 hours when I should have been studying. Anyway, no, Sarah's my age. and I had no idea who Art Carney was. And I think Ed Asner might be. It's not important. Don't worry about it. I don't know why I'm getting into the weeds about Last Action Hero. My point is I spent over 2 hours of my life watching a VHS copy of Laxative Hero. And is my Arnold Schwarzenegger impression any better than it was? You tell me.
Hello? Are we going to make a party? Have you seen my sword? I like to be pumping iron as well as running.
Because that was another film I saw called The Running Man. But guess what? I watched that on VHS, and I didn't even watch the whole thing because I was just not that interested, even though it's viewed as a bit of an action cult classic. The Running Man, but Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to survive a futuristic game show where he is the prey. And I was just like, this movie didn't work. Didn't work. They tried. It just had a weird tone. It was not... You want to watch a good satirical action movie? Watch, like, RoboCop, you know? Skip The Running Man. Don't let anyone tell you differently. And, anyway, going way back to what I was talking about at the very beginning of this long paragraph, verbal paragraph, I put on a DVD I bought. A George Carlin special called It's Bad For You. It's Bad For You. George Carlin's last comedy special, released only 4 months before he passed on, and of heart failure at age 70, I want to say. And I put it on. I won't say I wasn't expecting much because I've, you know, my... brain, there's it as an appreciator of creative work has been frustrating because it's kind of like gone through the classic, like what they might have called a hipster snob thing, where I liked some stuff when I was a teen, then when I was in my 20s I was like, I don't like that anymore. There was stuff I liked when I was a kid that when I no longer liked when I was a teen because it wasn't cool enough. And there were comedians I liked at the top who I stopped liking. Like, you know, when I was growing up, getting really into comedy, everybody loved Bill Hicks. And I listened to a bunch of Bill Hicks albums, partly because I worked somewhere that distributed Bill Hicks CDs. So it was a music distributor. And, but then like 10 years later, nobody liked Bill Hicks. And now, I don't know, I haven't revisited Bill Hicks. So that's still a maybe. But George Carlin, there was something where I felt like his later work, I love that 70s stuff he did. I think there's definitely space for that. It's fun, it's cute, it's edgy, it's innovative. Nothing bad to say about early George Carlin, but until about 1980. And then I remember once in my 20s buying this album where he like had like a parental advisory sticker over his mouth and just thinking it was, I don't know why it hit. I could not handle it. I was really not into it when I put it on and I was very excited for it. But It's Bad For You. This is a thing I have to remember to do more, which is with older artists, you always want to check out the last thing they did. Because a lot of the time, whether it's them or, you know, the narrative of it being their last thing, there's always a slight gravity and a kind of pooling together of, like, a coalescence of what this person's life work kind of was. And I was feeling that watching It's Bad For You by George Carlin. He talks about all the usual stuff you would think George Carlin would talk about. God, you know, funny ways of saying things that he thought was bullshit. Like, they're up there smiling down at me. Oh, he takes apart the phrase, they're up there smiling down at us. This kind of thing. And I didn't think it was corny. I thought it was creative. I was in the right mood for it. I thought the beginning and end, it started and ended on a very high note. So if you have a chance to watch it, maybe you watched it already, because it was one of those things when was like 19. It was like one of those HBO kind of programs that would just wind up being on Canadian TV all the time. But yeah, there's also, for lovers of vintage computing, a reproduction. The stage is a reproduction of his office or something, and there's a very nice looking old Macintosh computer on the stage. So for those who like staring at old Macintosh computers, this is one of your big chances to do that. And yeah, I always like to round up the things I've I've ingested on this podcast. I mean, that's like, I like telling you what I did. Oh, and seeing my friends was so nice this weekend too. I saw my homie Matt Dog. He's one of those guys who, you know, coming from that music world and that indie world, everyone would always be like funny. Like, I feel like there was like a high creative funniness level, whether or not people were or wanted to be comedians. And let me tell you, Matt Dog's just a hilarious guy. And he cracked me up this weekend, and I'm glad to be mentioning him. I saw my friend Polly, who I hadn't seen in a long time. Polly has a very interesting backstory where he made this video in Toronto in like early 2000s. It was called Queen Street Man, and it was a parody of like cool, it was probably 2004 or something. The cool guy walking down the cool street at the time, Queen Street West. And he nailed it, and it was also very silly. And it was like a minor local viral video hit. And what was it even uploaded on? Probably like MySpace. Anyway, so Polly's hilarious and great, and I got to say hi to him. And that's my little section of the podcast called Polly and Matt Dog. And then yesterday at the Transac, you know, AL Senior is a great friend of mine, and he puts on the show. So he's always there when I do the Transac show. But then my friend Jamie was there, and this fella, Jeremy. Jamie and Jeremy are important because they did a fanzine called Pumpkin Seed when I was 12 or 13. And I would pick it up when I was first starting to go to the cool record store. And it had tons and tons of reviews of, like, indie rock primarily. And I just thought to myself, reading this, it gave me a guide of what to kind of like look out for at the record store. So those guys were there yesterday, and it was just really wonderful to be reminded of that and to know that they're still smart, interesting, great people. And, you know, that's, again, the luck I have of being born in a fairly large city. And for whatever reason, a lot of my friends who I grew up in this city with, I still see them. And yes, I've lived elsewhere. But, you know, if I have regrets about not, I don't know, moving to Paris or New York or London or Melbourne or Transylvania, one of the roadblocks to regret is that I get to see my friends, who I still think are good. So, hopefully, we all don't get priced out of Toronto. All these fancy restaurants in Toronto. So many. And those aren't the good ones. I mean, they're fun, but the good ones are all the, like, food from Vietnam and the Caribbean and parts of China and Korea. And it's always, a lot of the time, less expensive than these places. But these fancy places, you know. I worry in Toronto what's going to happen when the relatives who pay for people's meal when they go to these fancy restaurants pass away. How are we all going to go to the fancy restaurants? I presume some other people are going to the fancy restaurants, but for me, it's just like the kind of place you go when your mom wants to be nice. If your mom If you want to tell me about your relationship with your mom, please email me at weeklypodcast, weeklypodcast@gmail.com. I would love to know how you get along, what that experience has been like, and your first and last name. No, you don't have to give me that. It can be anonymous. Speaking of email, I have an email I'd like to read. I can't remember if I've read this before. So if I've read this before on the podcast, I'm very sorry. I get emails from Adam Melle. Melle? Why don't I have a good way to pronounce your name? I don't know. He always sends me fun, creative emails. This one was from January 31st, so I don't know if I already talked about it, but Adam, thank you for sending me such fun emails. This is what the email said. Dear Nick, I recently asked ChatGPT to come up with a list of funny punk rock coffee orders because my mind keeps associating flat whites with Fat Mike. Fat Mike of NoFX. Of course, NoFX are apparently breaking up soon. I love a flat white. If I go out, that's pretty much what I'm getting at the old coffee shop. Which, another thing I'm doing lately is on weekends, going to a coffee shop near me where my friend works. And my other friend has a hair salon right next to that. So, it's kind of nice having that connection. I'm just really trying to stay connected because it helps with the positivity. Anyway, do you agree with this list? So Adam asked ChatGPT to come up with a list of funny punk rock coffee orders, and he wants to know what I think of this list. So I will read the list to you, and as I go through them, I will tell you what Adam, I will answer what Adam has asked. What do I agree with it? Something along those lines. What do I think of it? You get it. Fat Mike, no FX. Double shot of espresso with a splash of vegan oat milk, served in a skull-shaped mug. I don't know if Fat Mike's vegan. I don't know if I've ever really seen a skull associated with Fat Records or NoFX. I would assume he has had a double shot of espresso in his life. So, I mean, if it's a store that has skull-shaped mugs, that's probably accurate. Because he's getting it in a slip. But I don't know, are you getting it a double shot of espresso in a mug? Chat, this is ChatGPT's problem. Like, do they know how items operate with each other? I feel like they just name the item and they don't care if it functions with the other thing in the sentence. Vegan oat milk in a shot of a double shot of espresso. I guess that's fine. It gives it a little color. But I would say if you get a double shot of espresso, I wouldn't really throw milk even into like a shot of espresso. I would put possibly like a small, you know, those tiny little espresso spoons? Pick a little bit of sugar, just a little bit, and I put it in there. But I don't know if that's what Mike, Fat Mike, would do. So I'm going to give that a maybe. Billy Joe Armstrong, Green Day. Everybody on this list, almost everybody, are people who I recently saw in a documentary about East Bay punk rock. Billy Joe Armstrong, Green Day. Americano, with extra Wake Me Up When September Ends syrup and a side of punk rock attitude. I mean, see, this is the thing. Like, he's punk rock, so he wants punk rock attitude with his coffee. Which, by the way, like, he wants barista attitude. So he's probably not going to one of those like self-serve coffee machines that started showing up on the streets of places, because then you can't really get punk rock attitude. You're getting more kind of synth attitude, robot stuff. Wake Me Up When September Ends. Is that a Green Day song? Let's see. Wake Me Up When September Ends is a Green Day song. Summer has come. Oh, it's that video where the guy goes to like war. Summer has come and past the innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. like my father's come to pass. 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my path again, becoming who we are. As my memory rests, but never forgets what I lost, wake me up when September ends. So it is a Green Day song. So basically ChatGPT was like, okay, put a Green Day song in the coffee order and acknowledge that Green Day are punk, which was a big debate in the 1990s. Kathleen Hanna, Bikini Kill. Cold brew with a right girl twist. Add a shot of empowerment and a dash of feminist rage. Okay. So she's getting this cold brew, right? And then the barista is empowering, adding empowerment into the drink, as well as feminist rage. These are concepts. How you put them in a liquid form, I don't know. If you know, please email weeklybug@gmail.com. Henry Rollins, Black Flag, Nitro Cold Brew, served in a steel thermos because regular cups are for posers. I'm not sure how much Henry Rollins concerned himself with posers. You know, I think he was more angry with people who considered him a poser or something, you know, when he took over the vocals in Black Flag. He did have a song called Black Coffee. I don't know if he wrote the lyrics. Greg Ginn might have written the lyrics, but goes drinking black coffee, staring at the wall. Doesn't really say it's black coffee, but let's assume it's just black cold brew. And then he brought a thermos. I would say the thermos indicates environmental awareness, which I'm not sure he's ever come out and said, but I could picture him being environmentally friendly. So I'll give this a yes. Regular cups for posers. I'm not really sure what that means, though. So he famously wrote a book about, like, touring. So maybe the idea is, like, you know, anyone who knows what they're doing, if they're on the road all the time, brings a thermos. They don't get new cups. And I'm with you. Joan Jett, The Runaways. And Joan Jett of the Blackheart. Who is punk rock enough, I suppose? Strong black coffee, blacker than her leather jacket, with a hint of rebellion. I like the idea that she just has a hint of rebellion. It sort of coincides with the idea that she's like punk adjacent, having been part of that maybe in the 70s, but then moving into more of a punk adjacent world. A hint of rebellion. So the idea would be that you'd want to add the ingredient that is the hint of rebellion, like maybe she's putting salt in the coffee. But they're just saying a hint of rebellion. They're kind of not really, they're just not adding the thing that would symbolize empowerment in the case of Kathleen Hanna or feminist rage. They're kind of leaving that to me to come up with, which maybe I'll do for the rest of them. So I'll give that like a 7 out of 10. Tim Armstrong, Rancid. Again, Tim Armstrong was in this East Bay punk documentary, and I found him very charming. Dark roast with a splash of rum and a spritz of street punk essence. So this is just like, I don't even know where they got this. I think Tim Armstrong has been sober, or at least in and out of sobriety, for like 30 plus years at this point. Because it might have even been Operation... It was Rancid that they would only start with him, Lars, and the rest would only start with him if he was sober. So why he would want rum in this coffee is a mystery to me. A spritz of street punk essence. I guess you only need a little bit of street punk essence. You know, it's like vanilla or something. You don't want to overdo street punk essence because it just will overtake the flavor. I can't agree with that. I'm gonna protect the reputation of Tim Armstrong and say that's inaccurate. Brody Dahl, The Distillers. I don't know much about Brody Dahl. I guess she was partners with Tim Armstrong and then the guy from Queens of the Stone Age, Josh Om. Triple shot of espresso with a splash of whiskey, served in a skull-shaped cup to match her egg. So ChatGPT only has so many punk references, and at this point, a skull-shaped cup is one of the major ones, and like, a skull-shaped cup would really probably be more at home with, like, grandiose metal along the lines of maybe Ozzy Osbourne in the 1980s, and again, another person who was constantly trying to be sober, and Danzig, not even, or King Diamond of Mercyful Fate. Unless she's into skulls, I don't know. California punk's different. Not everybody who's a punk wants, like, alcohol in their coffee. Jello Biafra. Dead Kennedys. Decaf. Because nothing wakes you up like dismantling the establishment and a side of conspiracy theories. Okay. Again, I'm not sure how heavy on the conspiracy theory I've ever heard Jello Biafra be. He's more of a person who talks about current events and criticizes right-wing politics. So that's, I don't know where they're kind of getting the idea that he has conspiracy theories. He also apparently is really good at, like, getting free records at record stores. Nothing wakes you up like dismantling the establishment. I'm not going to have coffee today because dismantling the establishment will provide the brief spiritual lift that coffee normally would. But I love the flavor, so I'm getting decaf. Okay. Ian MacKay, Minor Threat, Fugazi. Here's a fun fact I recently, I don't know if I learned it or I was reminded of it, but I'll take the humble route and I'll say I learned it. If you know Minor Threat, you know that the cover of their Out of Step album is a picture of a shaved-headed man whose face is not seen with his hands around his face, kind of covering his face and some of his head. And I think he's seated. I always thought that was Ian MacKay. It's his brother. Ian MacKay, Minor Threat, Fugazi. Simple black coffee, because purity is punk, served in a DIY mug he made himself. I mean, I guess, you know, Minor Threat and Fugazi, that's sort of the vibe, straight edge. A DIY mug he made himself. Hard to picture him making mugs. Let me Google this. Does Ian MacKay make...
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Don't worry about it.
But I found something related.
Don't worry about it.
Do you want to know what is Ian MacKay doing now?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Great. Nothing here is saying this. Oh. Actually, this is interesting. So they, you know, famously didn't make any gear, but there's something called an official bootleg. So there was this is not a Fugazi t-shirt. You know, that was a famous shirt you could get in the 90s. And then there's a this is not a Fugazi t-shirt mug you can buy, but the article I'm reading doesn't seem to say it's he made it. So, it's disqualified. This is a zero. And finally, thank you, Adam, for this list that I've made a real meal of. Courtney Love. Hole. Guess she's punk. More grunge. More Riot Girl. Punk, sure. Courtney Love of Hole. Cappuccino. with extra foam to match her messy aesthetic, and a sprinkle of controversy on top. Controversy? I don't know. Non-fair trade chocolate sprinkles? Kind of controversial. Foam matches her messy aesthetic. So I guess they're sort of referencing how foam parties were like a thing at one point. And they were really messy. Like people always covered in foam. Cappuccino. I guess. She's getting older now. She comes from an era where you'd like order a cappuccino. Nobody really does that much anymore in North America. She's also got enough money that I feel like she could probably afford more than a sprinkle of controversy on top. Thank you, Adam, for sending me that. It proved to me that, you know, ChatGPT, OpenAI are learning as they go. It's probably way better than it was in January 31st at making punk rock coffee orders. Funny punk rock coffee orders. Direct quote from the email. I'd be interested to know what 2 months of progress has done to this, because frankly, this is not something I would want to read in a zine. Although, like, maybe this is like zine, like a bad zine from the 90s level quality humor. I don't know. I don't know much. To quote Operation Ivy, all I know is that I don't know. But I do know that I've had a great time recording this podcast. I'm so glad to chat with you. You are all incredible people because I say so. Have a wonderful time doing the things you do. I will see you later.
Flanagan Weekly. Nick Flanagan Weekly.